This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
We're not in the position where we have to do anything. I think you want to always avoid being put in a corner where you have to make a deal and your back's against the wall and you're going to take any deal that's out there. We're not at all in that position. But, you know, looking at the longer time horizon of the next 2 years, I think it would be wise at some point to, do something that, looks out a little bit more for the long term and a little bit less for the short term. But that doesn't have to happen now. And we're not in a position where we have to move anybody.
Middays on the Score.
Nobody puts Baby in a corner. Nobody puts Theo in a corner. They want to be able to dictate what they do here as they smooth out the transition.
Yay.
To something. Hooray. We got things going on in baseball, and here to talk about all of it is Sahadev Sharma. He is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. First and foremost, the breaking news, Bob Nightingale says it's going to be Dusty Baker at the helm of the Astros. What say you?
Yeah, I honestly guess I'm not shocked. I'm a little surprised. Ken Rosenthal kind of wrote yesterday that it seemed like it was coming down to Dusty, Showalter, and Brad Ausmus. I kind of had a feeling they may go Brad Ausmus, go with the guy that's familiar with the, you know, new age statistics, spend some time in a front office, all that stuff. But obviously it's an odd situation that the Astros have going on there. And, you know, if you're trying to get some respectability back and then gain the trust of the public again, Dusty's the perfect face of that team to do that.
Do we have any sense of who's making that decision? Dan and I were just talking as we found out the news, and I kind of posited that it's likely Jim Crane making that call.
I would have to guess that's the case. I don't have any information on that to be certain, but yes, obviously it's a who's doing the hiring and then who will be the next GM, how that all works. It almost seems like, I guess you kind of have to get the manager done first with the spring training creeping up on us, but it isn't a perfect scenario by any means.
So the Cubs are picking around the bargain bins right now. They place a bet on Steven Souza coming back from a really nasty knee injury. He had 30 home runs in a season a couple years ago. Similarly, Scooter Jeanette, he was a 4.5 win player in 2018 and just absolute garbage last year. I believe he was underwater half a win with a WRC plus run of 44. I mean, really, really bad news. What are they trying to accomplish here as they fill out the rest of the Major League roster?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the money, or they're not spending the money that it takes to get players.
Thank you for correcting yourself there. They have the money. They don't want to spend it.
Exactly. They're not spending that money to go get those guys with the floor of, you know, this is a X number win player. These guys are highly volatile. Look at every position all around, you know. Solid starters in a lot of these positions, but it wasn't like Theo was hiding the ball here. He admitted. Well, I straight up asked him, like, how do you go into a season with a roster like this and that came off 84 wins and don't make any changes? And he said, listen, there's a lot of potential here, but there's a ton of risk. And it's clear every single move that they make is a risky move in the sense that Scooter Jeanette could be, if Scooter Jeanette is brought in, that's a guy that could provide zero value, or he could, get back to that person that hits 30 home runs and is a wildly productive offensive player. So you can say that about Souza. You can say that about a lot of guys at the batted. And that's the position they put themselves in.
Do you think that if the Bryant grievance had come down 3 weeks ago, decision one way or another, that they would have been bigger players for Nick Castellanos, given what he meant to that team so much last season?
I don't know. It's really hard to answer that because I don't know if they make a trade just because the grievance is taken care of. it's almost impossible to know if they would have been able to pull something off, because look at how long it just took to pull off a Starling Marte trade. You know, I think the whole trade market kind of got delayed, and it's not just the grievance that's affecting this. The free agent market lasted a little bit longer than anyone expected, with Donaldson kind of lingering there, and that held things up. I wouldn't say that's a guarantee by any means.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked Jed Hoyer about Craig Kimbrell, and I continue to think about him because of the contract, because of his significance to this team. And mm-hmm. and Jed was pretty straight up about not knowing, being able to tell the difference between a blip and actual deterioration. I don't know what they know that they won't say, but I would love to know how they're monitoring this offseason and this ramp up to avoid the issues that he had last year, or if maybe he was tipping, or if there's just something up that they can find in the lab.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be looking for other reasons other than no spring training, no ramp up, no normal ramp up to the season starting in June, all that stuff. Obviously, they believe that had an impact, but you're right, there's no way to know the impact in other ways. What else impacted his poor performance, and if these things can linger, whatever it was, mechanically, physically, what can they adjust? I think they're going to, they are in the process of trying to figure all that stuff, and they're keeping tabs on it. I think the public will have a better idea of what exactly is going on or what happened. Once we get to spring training and we're able to kind of dig into that, we have some face-to-face time. Not saying that Kimbrel's going to be an open book suddenly and tell us every detail about the offseason, but there are ways to find these things out, and I think we'll have a little clearer picture of what his offseason was once we have some media out there in Arizona and have some time to chat with people one-on-one and get an idea of what his offseason was. But you're right, it's not just about missing spring training. You have to be sure that you're taking every angle on this.
So a lot of people have, with the signing of Nick Castellanos to the Reds and the Pirates ditching Starling Marte over to the Diamondbacks, you know, it's kind of easy to go, oh, the Cubs are maybe the third most talented team in that division now, and you got to worry. The Pirates are horrible, and that's fair, but I don't know. Does a smart guy like yourself start to put that division in order yet, knowing that the Cubs are going to try very hard to shed salary, and that likely means a very big name?
Yeah, I the very early projections for me have them third right now. I liked the Reds last year. I thought the Reds underperformed their talent level, and I think they've only improved talent-wise, and a little more luck goes their way. I think that's going to be a dangerous team. The Cardinals are just good and young, and they have a lot to work with as well. They could probably stand to make another move, but those are two really talented teams. I think the Cubs are better than the Brewers, but I've said that for 2 years, mm-hmm. over 2 years now, and the Brewers have finished ahead of them. So, you know, maybe I think a lot of people have missed the Brewers are able to find value somewhere that it doesn't add up on paper when you look at it. And I think that's kind of what the Cubs are wondering, what they're missing. How come our team looks so good on paper and we can't get the results that we should be getting with this much talent?
So what's at stake in the first half of the season up to the trading deadline? You know, I think if we really look at how this plays out practically, this could be an in or out season where they could look at it, you know, rather than what they did last year of these stamps of validation, of spending on Kimbrel, of going and trading for Castellanos, that they, if things don't really start to sizzle, they could go hard the other direction and say that we're going to use this as our smoothing out transitional year by completely restocking and just pulling the pin on it. Is that on the table?
Yeah, 100% it is. If you listen to Theo Epstein, he's basically suggested that he hasn't had the chance to reset this group midseason, and I think he believes being able to do that would have put him in a better position now, whether it was last year or the year before. He's basically said, man, I wish September would have happened in July the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Because then he could have made, those difficult decisions would have been easy. There were pieces to sell, quality players that he could have moved on from and kind of restocked the system. And maybe we'd be talking about 2020 and this organization completely differently. So timing kind of has bit him in that sense.
Yeah, you know, that really does. When you think about it, it's weird to say, but the teases, like the getting that close and just sort of running out of gas at the finish line is the worst possible thing to happen, that they pour all these resources. They've leaked so much oil that it's been really hard for them to rebuild the engine.
Yep. And I think if you're talking about a team that's, you know, hanging around but not really giving them much optimism that it's going to go deeper than hanging around, you may see some sell-off type moves. I'm not talking about getting rid of everyone, but, you know, you could, I mean, obviously Bryant, if he's still around, will be on the table. Contreras could be on the table. Kimbrel would make a lot of sense. I wrote about this as something that, you know, I wrote 10 predictions that were kind of like, you know, I don't like predicting stuff because it's a fool's errand, but it could make a lot of sense if they're out of it at the deadline and Kimbrel's bounced back. That's the exact type of guy that you'd see Theo Epstein want to shop. Relievers have really high value at the deadline. If he's pitching like Craig Kimbrel, imagine a team that's, you know, just missing that dominant closer, how much they may pay for him. That's exact, and the payroll aspect of it as well. Theo Epstein's never really invested that much as he is right now with Kimbrel in a closer. If you're a team that's not competing, even if you're looking at 2021, that makes a ton of sense to move a guy like Kimbrel if he's performing up to his capabilities.
You know, talking about these timelines and kind of looking back and playing revisionist history, I wonder if, even if you took the names out of it, right, and you just had player cards, you just had like Strat-O-Matic cards where you struck out the name, I wonder if Theo regrets the run they went on before, not that it was a big run, but the little run they went on before they traded for Jose Quintana.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could look at that that summer in a lot of ways, and they certainly, if that run didn't happen, I think there was a run right after getting Quintana too.
Yeah, five or six games, yeah.
Yeah, that really pushed them back into the conversation and helped them get back to the team that they looked like in 2016. I mean, you're talking about then having Wade Davis available, and I think Jake Arrieta was the year that he was about to leave as a free agent. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at this and kind of say if this had gone differently, and now you're talking about a team that doesn't make three straight NLCS, all those different things. So how do you look at this? How differently would the organization look? It's easy to revise and with hindsight and say, this team could look very differently if they were out of it before deadlines instead of collapsing in September. Although I feel like 2017, it's kind of worth it. You know, when you make it that deep in the postseason, no matter what, it still feels worth it to me.
I'm with you. I think given the move at the time, I think it was the right thing to do. I think both things can be true. If you look back through revisionist history, the long term of it, because that's how baseball plays out, the long term of it you might double back on. The big thing, obviously, for the Cubs is the grievance for Chris Bryant, and no one seems to know why it's taking so long. But I wonder, and maybe the answer is no, we just don't know this yet. I wonder, though, do you have an expectation that once you get a ruling, once we all understand what was going on here, that the arbitrator will say, by the way, here's what took so long? Are we going to get details of the case, or is it just going to be an up or down?
I don't know. I don't have an expectation that we'll get an explanation. I feel like the explanation is this is a serious matter and there's no timeline. This person isn't working on our timeline, right? This person isn't working on the off-season timeline, and he's going, I'm sure he has other things on his table. I think there's a lot of ins and outs to this. I assume that this has less to do about baseball and more to do about whatever this guy's particular process is in figuring out how to make a ruling on this. I don't have an expectation to get an explanation of why this took so long, and maybe we will be, and it'll make sense, but or we'll all be up in arms like that's why it took so long. But either way, I'm not sure if we'll ever find out.
Speaking of explanations, did I read this right that umpires now are going to be mic'd up like NFL officials and will be able to explain their calls or applications of rules?
Yeah, I think it has to do, if if what I read is right, it has to do with explaining why a call wasn't overturned or was overturned. So it's only going to be on replay if I read that correctly, which I think makes sense because sometimes I know even in the press box, we'll be sitting there and we're like, I have no clue what we just wasted 5 minutes over. Nobody knows what just happened, why that happened. There was no explanation. And then sometimes later on in the game, we'll get an explanation from PR. They'll have figured it out and communicated with someone in the dugout. But I think it's helpful. I'm not sure if it's game changing. Maybe it'll entertain us in the sense that these guys will be mic'd up and we'll have good like sound bites and stuff like that. But maybe I'm not seeing a bigger picture here as far as why this will be really impactful, but I think it'll be helpful.
Sahadev, great stuff, man. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.